there's some guys that come in and they look around and they think they're just going to jump out there and say, okay, jump stop, and you need to do this and you need to do that. It's like, no, it's not that way, man. And we just sit back in the summertime and we work the guys out, and it's, and they see all the problems, and I'm like, hey, coach, can you, you want to go take him home and drive him an hour and a half home? And then they see the grind and like, oh, okay, this ain't what I signed up for.
Welcome to Beyond the Ball Podcast.
What's going on, ballers? And welcome to another episode of the Beyond the Ball Podcast. I'm your host, Jonathan Jones, and I'm excited, as always, because you all know the premise of our platform here is ultimately to focus on providing tangible strategies for student-athletes to succeed beyond their degree. And if you have not taken a chance to subscribe, I would encourage you to subscribe to the platform wherever you stream your podcast. But without further ado, today I'm excited to bring forward a guest who is not only a father, he's a mentor, and he's a coach. And the last thing I'm just gonna add on here, a father, mentor, husband. I didn't forget. Husband and coach. And you might have seen him before. And he also is the star from Last Chance U Basketball. Without further ado, Coach John Mosley. Coach, how we doing today?
John, doing okay, man. Staying busy, staying pretty active with reaching out to those who reached out to us about the show. You know, it's a Netflix docuseries I think it's been featured. This is the sixth season, and they decided to do basketball. So previously it was football in some smaller towns, and then they went up to Oakland for the fifth season. They chose basketball. So and it's done well. I think it's had some of the biggest numbers here in the last month or two. So we're grateful for it. For whatever reason, man, it's kind of created a little bit of a phenomenon. You know, I've kind of been here forever, and everybody's like, well, who is this guy? You know, I've never heard of him. It's like, there's a lot of people in the world, you know, John, doing great things. And I just was fortunate that they allowed me, they provided a platform for people to see what we're doing, and actually see what's going on with our little world. You know, everybody's got their little world, man. Mm-hmm. We all got a little world, and we all think it's important. And we had a world that we thought was important, and we were trying to do work and help young men, because I'm a basketball coach at the community college, at East LA Community College. And there's 111, I believe, community colleges in California. Wow. And we're just, you know, we're just a speck in the water, you know. And so for them to come and decide to film us and highlight us, and now we're kind of not just nationally, but internationally. I get a lot of mail from, or emails from the international, kind of more than I do from the States. So
wow,
the impact that the show has had. There's tons of people that do a lot of great work, man, but so we've just been staying busy, continuing to share the message that, hey, there's other groups out there like us, or the work that we're doing. They've asked, what are some of your techniques and strategies? And I'm like, I don't know, man. It's just loving on people, you know. It's just having compassion for others. I think that's where it all stems from.
Yeah. Would you say that you think that's something that gets lost just in the coaching game and even doing the work that you do? Because just like we talked earlier, talking about you building young men for lifelong success. Do you think the love is something that's lost?
So here's what I think happens. And a lot of people ask me, how come I won't take when am I going to take this job or that job? Or I'm pretty sure there's a lot of people hitting you up. So I think what happens, man, and this is what I'm fearful of, is, and those coaches, they do a great job. And not to say that they don't, but when you get to a level where you're being compensated at an astronomical amount, or your compensation is based on wins and losses, sometimes your pure focus can be based on wins and losses, and you lose your purpose. We all get into that coaching, like, man, I'm going to help kids. I'm going to try to help them win. And We never get into coaching and say, man, I'm just trying to go out there and win a championship. No, we jump into coaching because we love the interaction. We love that space. We love that locker room environment. You know, that's what we missed. That's what I missed, at least. I missed the locker room environment. And then I went back and I was able to have relationships and kind of mentor through basketball. The carrot is basketball to kind of reel them in. But there's so many lessons. You can teach them basketball. You can teach them, you can mentor them and all that, because they're going to listen to you because the carrot is basketball. But we lose that. We lose it a lot because, man, when you're, you know, when feeding your family depends on wins and losses, sometimes you drop the ball on, I need to make sure that I take care of this kid's well-being. Really, you could care less. You're like, look, my family's got to eat. And if we don't win games, we're going to get fired. And I don't care what any university says. It comes down, all the universities, it comes down to wins and losses. If you're losing at a high rate, mm-hmm. at some point, sometimes they may let it drag on for a couple of years. But if you look at the highest level, a lot of, if it's after 3 years, if you can't get it done, you're fired. And I think that's, for me, that's what kind of hits home when you ask the question, is it being lost? I think that's what happens. It's not that any other coach, a coach doesn't care, but he has to prioritize what's important. And sometimes it's some coaches do a great job of prioritizing, still being mm-hmm. compassionate and caring, although there's pressure to win. For me, my salary is based on teaching. So I'm a full-time faculty member now. So I was blessed with a tenure position now. It takes a little, I put the pressure on myself to win because I know it's going to position all these young men to be in a better place. But I think that's what happens. And then that's where we lose maybe some of the focus on the individual and really having that compassion. Because we thinking about winning, man. We got to win games so my family can eat. So I would say it shows up missing sometimes. And, I'm looking at the transfer portal, man. Mm. It's like over 2,000 players in the transfer portal. Ooh. And I'm just like, man, something has been lost. There's a connection that's missing. There's some connection missing because – there shouldn't be so many young men deciding, well, I'm leaving. Like, you mean to tell me there wasn't enough connection that kept you in place or kept you at the school that ultimately signed you to a scholarship where you guys had this perfect marriage, right? Mm. On announcement day, oh, I'm signing with so-and-so, 100% committed. And then a year later, it's just like, I'm out of there. You know, it's pretty sad. So yeah, there's the transfer portal kind of gives you a heads up. And then our culture, the way our young men are now, everybody wants to, they want to create a dream team. So, but that's another conversation.
So coach, talk a little bit about that, about just the culture aspect of like what you've done around just building your culture out. Because I was on a panel like a few weeks ago, and one of the gentlemen said, like with the transfer portal, the majority of people that transfer out, it's not even because of play time. Even though that's the first thing that I would think. But just talk a little bit about like the culture that you all have put in place, because I know there's a lot of coaches out there that, they're still struggling trying to figure out, how to put together a culture.
Yeah, I think we're in a space now where you got to go meet those young men where they're at. And a lot of times we try to say, hey, look what we have to offer. You guys need to come along and jump on board, or you don't get all these great resources. You don't get all this. Well, I think at some right now we're in a culture. Now, I'm not going to kiss nobody's butt, but I think we have to go meet them and say, OK, what are your goals? What are your dreams? And now here's the template for it. And I think we have to be intentional about making sure that that's a kind of a daily focus or a weekly focus. We got to be intentional about letting them know that we, not just in the recruiting phase where we say, hey, okay, what is your dreams? What do you want? Let us help you meet those goals. And now when they walk through the door, they say, wait a minute, I thought he was going to spend all his time with me. I thought he was going, and so I think for me, what, you know, is being intentional, and not that it can't change tomorrow, but I think right now what has worked is being intentional about really having compassion about what, and be invested in what is going on in their lives. And then once that happens, they see that there's a, that now they can listen in to what we're trying to, what we want. So once they know that we're invested in them and we care about them, now they'll kind of fall in line with what we want to help them meet those goals. And, you know, I text the guys out every day, winning is essential, you know, and I started a project, you know, I'm writing this book with all of these points on winning is essential. And what does that look like? And I'm not just talking about winning on the court. It's in the classroom, it's winning out in our faith. But winning is essential. And now we can start to press on like, man, you're going to win at everything you do. You're going to win your attitude. You're going to wake up and you're going to win. Mm-hmm. We got to win. We got to win our mind. We got to win the day. We got to win. You got to be competitive about distractions, you know. I mean, make it a competition. I'm not getting distracted because I'm Joe Hampton and I'm not letting nothing distract. You know, you got to be competitive, man. And so we take that and we drive that home. So I think, but I think first, before even talking about what my philosophies and what my culture is, I think it's allowing them to understand. I think the days, and I hate to say it, you know, we're old school because my mentor was old school. The old school coaches where it's my way or the highway. Mm-hmm. Well, you know what I'm saying? I think we got to manipulate the situation and say, okay, what do you want to do? What is your path? Okay. And then I think we have to be intentional about letting them know, like, look, we want you to meet those goals, but guess what? You got to hop on our highway, and then our highway is going, then we'll take a detour to your place. But first, we got to be all on the same highway first. You know, but what do you want and what do you need? What are your needs? And then we got to flip it and say, okay, for your wants and your needs to happen, you got to hop on this. But we have to be intentional and know. We got to have a compassion and know where they're at and what's going on in their lives and what's going to tick, cause them to tick, to respond poorly, what's going to get them. And that takes work on our part. Mm-hmm. And I think we, you know, sometimes we miss that. We kind of feel like, hey, if they don't do it my way, they out of the door. I'm the one with scholarship money. I'm the one with, you know, I'm the one that's providing all of this opportunity. But if you say as a coach, well, I want to be the guy that makes the impact, all right? If you say that you're the coach, you're the guy that wants to make the impact, then I think then you got to go meet them. But if you want to be the guy and say, we got this great program, those guys need to be privileged that they're in our program, then fine, go ahead and sit back. But you won't have that impact on that young man that's struggling. You won't be able to turn lives around, in my opinion. That's just how I do it. I have a problem turning lives around unless I'm invested and I go to their home and I see what they're going through. I see what happened, what it took for them to get to school today, you know, in terms of bus fare or train fare. Are they hungry? Did they have some type of abuse at home? And I'm not talking about physical, is some type of verbal or some type of neglect, or is there abandonment going on? You got to find out all those things instead of saying, oh, this kid is a basket or a head case. And then I think that can, once they know that you love on them, then they'll love what your mission, what your goal is. At least that's what worked for me.
How do you draw the line between, like, because okay, like in the show or in the docuseries, you know, there's a part where, you know, you're in the office and you're praying with Joe Hampton, but then just later as the show progresses, how do you draw the line between ministry, building men, and ultimately just knowing like when to take a step back? And it's like, okay, you know, I have to step back. I have to let them learn here, or, you know, I have to let what's going to happen here.
You know, I would like to say, I would like to give myself more credit and say that it's a feel. There is a spirit of discernment that's granted. All right. So I don't know if I can even coach basketball, but what I'd say, the gift that God has given me is a spirit of discernment. And I think the more that I stay connected with what God's intentions are, what God wants. So he wants us to have compassion. He wants us to be excellent at what we do and passionate. The more I can stay in his presence, the more I can kind of know what to do and what he would do in that situation. So I think that is the best place to be, because everybody says, oh, you were great. How did you do that? And I'm thinking, like, I don't know, man. I just, you got to stay in prayer, man. These kids is off the chain. You got to stay in prayer. And I think that's where it's at. Like, the moment when I walked around, everybody's like, that was a great technique. I was like, man, that wasn't no technique, man. I was praying, man. You know, I'm walking around praying, like, Lord, what do I do right now? You know, I stopped practice. And then I thought to myself, ah, man, I really didn't want to run them at that moment. And so I'm praying. And it takes prayer. It takes a sense of discernment to know when to cut in and when to cut out. You got to know and do enough research and do enough homework to know what's really going on. Like, Joe wants to play basketball. Deshaun, Casey, all these guys want to play basketball. They love the game. They want to be successful. So why would they sabotage that? Hmm. Well, it's trying to get some type of attention. Why? Because they want us to know about something else that's going. They want us to know, well, you just really need to know me or know, you know. And guess what we do in society, in our society? We don't have time for that. You better get your act together. Well, you know what? You're not going to have an impact on Joe Hampton if you don't take time. And if you just write him off and say, you know what? I don't have time for Joe. So that's just me, my calling. I'm not asking everybody to do it. That's just the discernment that I have. That's the compassion that I try, that I just take on. That's the work that I take on. You know, you don't have to take it on, and you don't have to feel guilty for. I mean, your deal may be, look, it's this way and it's cut and dry. And if he responds a certain way, then I don't have to tolerate it. And you don't, in your space, you don't. But for me, this is what, you know, this is what I'm doing. You know, hey, you could be a millionaire, a billionaire. And if your calling is to just donate, then donate. That's your call. For me, my purpose is to make sure I really get to the root of why the poor responses are happening. And so I think it's just staying in prayer, staying within the mission. You know what I'm saying? The mission is not, if it's about winning games, yeah, I probably got to cut my losses and get rid of Joe, you know, but you got to stay within the mission and realize, man, if I would have let him go, you know, no telling what would have happened with Joe, you know, no telling what, with all the things he had going on. And the thing about it is I took responsibility. I told him I would never give up on him. And sometimes they want to see if you're going to give up on him. Like, I don't believe it. I don't believe it. He said he won't give up on me. You know, ain't that sad, man? Mm-hmm. When you got people that you mentored and that you try to help, and they continue to sabotage just to prove that you're not going to help me. You know, you said you're going to help me, but I want to see if you're going to help me. Okay, you're going to help me. And they want to see to what depths you're going to help them. And I'm going to let them know, like, look, man, you ain't going to keep trying me. You're not going to keep testing me, but I'm not giving up on you. The only way is you're going to have to give up on yourself. So I'm never going to give up on them. But if it becomes, and there's just different spaces where you have to learn how, when to discipline, because you have a feel for why they're acting out. They can be acting out because they don't want to do the work. You know what I'm saying? Mm. Or they can be acting out because there's something going on in their home lives. There's an anger. There's Deshaun is in a depressed, I don't want to do anything today because I want to grieve today. And so maybe I just leave Deshaun alone because I kind of get a sense that he just wants to grieve today. So let Deshaun grieve and just ignore all his negative behavior. And then, you know what? Sometimes that grieving may only happen 10 minutes, right? And then he wakes up out of it because he sees we're continuing to move forward and we're not paying any attention to the negative behavior. So once he sees that, he's like, you know what? Let me just hop back in. Okay, I've cleared my head. And guess what? I've allowed him to grieve for 10 minutes. I've allowed him to react and respond. And I didn't lose the day. Sometimes you can lose the day. Mm. You can lose everything by responding to the poor and negative behavior. Well, I allowed him to grieve all by himself. Yeah, he's still around the other guys. But I grabbed all the other guys and I pulled them to positive behavior. I said, let's go. Da, 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 da. If Deshaun doesn't want to do it, I without saying anything, I had the response of, we're going to ignore Deshaun today, fellas, and we're just going to keep it pushing. And all the guys respected the fact that we kept going and we didn't respond to Deshaun. Well, 10 minutes later, Deshaun, he jumps back on the train, right? But if I would have responded at that moment, we could have lost the day. We could have said, okay, we're disciplining you. We could have. So sometimes you do have to stop and say, okay, we're just disciplining the whole day. And then sometimes you just got to ignore the behavior and keep it pushing. And then they'll hop back in and they self-examine. They kind of self-examine themselves and they take a look. That's what happened when I was silent. They all self-examined after a while. I was like, you know what? First, they thought I was crazy and I was nuts. And then they kind of sat there long enough to realize that, you know what? We might be nuts. We might have the issue. We're sitting up here not following direction and now we're standing here not playing basketball when we should be playing basketball. They sat there long enough to realize that, you know what? We want to just play basketball. And I think it's just a feel, man. So, and part of that feel comes from discernment. Part of that discernment comes from staying in the presence of God and kind of what he wants. And how you do that, man, you got to stay in prayer. You got to stay in his word, you know, in the Bible. And so that's kind of what I do.
Most definitely. Most definitely. So, Coach, I want to hear just your thoughts on, or just to bring a level playing field or understanding on how difficult it is just fighting to either make it through junior college and then get to the next level. Or, well, just talk about that, because I think a lot of people don't understand, because I played at the junior college level and I never even realized, just if we talk stats and numbers, how difficult it is to go from one level to the next. But can you just talk about what some of these guys are going through on a day-to-day that a lot of people have no idea about?
Yeah, and I'll talk about the performance later, but so they only highlighted about four guys, right? It was like KJ, Malik, Deshaun, and Joe. But there's 15 guys on that roster that all have major issues that they're going through. You know, you got kids getting put out of their home and still trying to, you know, there's a reason why they're all here. So something happened to prevent them, at least the guys that are with me, either athletically, they weren't ready, either academically, they weren't ready. So they had to go to the community college, which most every student is in California. Any student, I don't care, even if you don't graduate from high school, you can be admitted and you can go to community college. So You have those students. You have students like a Joe Hampton, who he was on the top of the world. He blows out one knee, blows out another knee, and he starts to spiral. And then he gets into legal issues. There's so many variables that go on, right? So they're trying to come out of that space. So whatever deficiency brought them to the community college, they're trying to unravel out of that. Not only that, is they're trying to survive every day. So it's just like a normal, they're trying to, in California, we don't have any scholarships. So that's number one. So all of the guys are paying tuition. Now, most of them, you know, if they're California residents, they get the fee waiver and then financial aid pays for it. They come out pretty good, but you're paying to go to community college. You're paying to go to college. Now you're paying, there's no dorms. There's a couple schools with dorms out here. Out of 111, there's about five schools with dorms. So everybody's traveling from home, or they have to facilitate their own housing situation. I can't even facilitate it. So a lot of people say, what kind of housing situation? I'm like, man, I don't have a housing situation. They got to figure it out. I may direct them a little bit, but but they have to figure it out. They got to pay their own rent. They got to pay their food. There's no meal plans or anything here. So you think about those spaces. We get guys that get full financial aid, but then guess what? Mom needs money for rent. And so now they're still in the struggle space and they're trying to be a full-time student. In order to get out of here, okay, you got to graduate in 2 years. That's if you're here in 2 years. You don't have time to sit around. There's a degree progress at the NCAA level, you have to have a percentage of your degree done by the time you transfer, right? And the more you go full time, we call it our clock starting, right? So once you go full time, your clock starts. At that point, your clock starts, and the semesters, the amount of semesters that you go, that counts towards your degree progress. So let's say I go fall and spring semester. If I go fall and spring semester to the NCAA, they're going to look and say, you should be 1 year towards having your degree. And if not, you're not going to be eligible at the NCAA school. So we have to make sure at the community college that if they go full time, fall and spring, that they have to be done. So we can't just put them in any crap classes. Back in the day, you know, the knock was the community college. You used to be able to put anybody in just basket weaving, get them through, and then they transfer on, you know. But what happens is when you transfer to the NCAA school now, the NCAA wants to see that if you went to school 1 year at the community college, that you have 1 year of your degree towards your degree done, which means the classes that you've taken at the junior college have to match the classes towards your degree at the 4 year. So that's what we talk about. You have to have your degree progress done. So now a student has to get math, English, science done at the community college level, right, in order to transfer. So it's that much harder. And guess what? In order to meet those demands and those requirements, now it's not just take 12 units. And you say, well, take less units. Well, you have to be a full-time student in order to compete. So now you have to take full-time classes. And if you're taking the full-time classes, normally it's not just 12 units standard semester. You got to take 15 to 18 so that you're taking enough units so that when you transfer, your progress towards degree, you'll meet that. And so now there's an extra stress from an academic standpoint that you have to meet. So we got that stress. Deshaun is driving an hour and a half to come play for us. We got guys catching the train. So, and you say, well, why won't they go to the place that's closer to them? Well, they felt more comfortable with what we were doing. And they knew that if they came with us and they did what they were supposed to do, they would transfer out. So there's a young man who says, I want that opportunity because that looks better for me. That's the best community college situation. So they're making a sacrifice to say, hey, I'm going to travel an hour to get to that place with no meal plan, no gas money, take a full load of classes, then have to deal with Coach Mosley, who's trying to run a real program, like, you know, who's trying to make us lift weights, you know, pre and post game, and trying to do detailed things that I know would help him be successful at the next level, trying to make him go to study hall, holding him accountable in the classroom. So now all those difficulties on top of whatever exterior things that are going on. Okay. Mm-hmm. I got a case going on. So the dynamics there, there's no support. Okay. Yeah. You can find tutor on campus, but there's no designated support. If you go to a university, the athletic department is going to know we have our tutors. We have our academic athletic counselors specific for just our team or just athletics. And so here at the community college, we don't have specifics. We have those resources on campus, but it's not specific to athletics. It's kind of for the broad campus. So it's not at our disposal. So you have all of those dynamics, including you got to be an adult. You know, you get to the university level, you got meal plans, you got training tables, you got athletic, a specific strength and conditioning coach. I mean, there's so many variables that we're trying to make it. Myself, I'm trying to bring the program element, which is strength and conditioning, the basketball experience, the academic experience. I'm trying to make that like a 4-year program. Okay. So I'm extending myself because us coaches, we got to do more because we don't have a strength and conditioning coach. We don't have this and that, but we're providing that. And then the young men, they have to live out the exterior things that they normally won't have to live out at the 4 year. So you say, why is Joe Hampton throwing chairs? Well, he's worried about paying rent also. You know what I'm saying? He's worried about the legal battle that he has. Now, he brought that on himself, but on top of the legal battle that he brought on himself, he's got to worry about paying rent. He's got to worry about eating. He's got to worry about all those different type of things. So, and then, you know, maybe his parents are asking for money and, you know, he's living across the country. He's probably in a living situation that he doesn't want to be in, but he has to live in it because it's the cheapest. So those are all the variables. And the guys are doing well at the next level because the adversity that they had to go through and that they got through, it's nothing compared, you know, it's nothing to compare to what they, the adversity at the next level.
Yeah. Yeah. Wow. Well, I love how you really broke that down for the people. I really love how you painted a pretty clear picture, Coach. You painted a pretty clear picture. So now there was a few scenes in the docuseries where you were out there sweeping the floor, Coach. Mm-hmm. Talk about it. You're the head coach of the program, and just like you just said, you know, there's some things that you all don't have access to, but you didn't have to sweep the floor. Why'd you sweep the floor, Coach Mosley?
Well, first it kind of relaxes me. That's one. I realized after I started doing it that it kind of relaxes me. It breaks some of the nervous tension down, and I can kind of collect my thoughts as I do it. But seriously, man, every little thing matters to me. You know, we're talking about game day, and I just look at to see what headspace the guys are in. I mean, one guy can have a poor attitude and it could just destroy the whole. You know, the whole day can be destroyed. Just the whole game can be, the whole spirit of the game can be destroyed because of one moment. I said, I think in there that I'm not willing to lose a game because the floor is slippery. And we've all played on, you know, as a basketball player, we played on a slippery floor or I don't know what, some conditions that we had control over, you know, like maybe, you know, our equipment manager gave us a tight shirt. And that tight shirt just made us uncomfortable, or a shirt that's too loose, or, you know, all those things I think are important to put us in a good headspace. And me, the way we play and how we like the freedom of our conditioning and the speed in which we play, I think it's important to make sure our floor is not dusty. Otherwise, we'll slide all over the place. We like to get out and, you know, everybody does. We like to get out in the stance. We cut hard. We think, you know, we like to say our reactions are going to be better than our opponents. And if the floor is slippery and we don't have the grip and all that, then it just feels like it kind of minimizes our advantage. It takes away some of our advantage. And that happened, you know, a time or two when, you know, that happened, man. And I was super frustrated. You know, it just put us in a bad headspace. We're trying to defend and cut people off and play intense and hard, and the floor is slippery. And guess what? If the guys get wide and in the stands, they'll pull a groin. And you can feel that. You can sense that. And it's kind of a natural feeling. Like they felt like the floor was slippery. So if I widen my stance and I slide, I'm going to pull a groin. So they were kind of protecting themselves. And so they couldn't really give all out. And I never want the players to feel vulnerable. In a sense that they can't compete at the highest level. And I think that's just one thing that happens that you can control. That's one thing that you could control to help them focus on competing. You could take away the focus if that floor is not slippery. And what's interesting is I can remember I was in high school and I started out playing JV or something like that in order to travel with the varsity or to be with the varsity, I had to, well, to stay in practice. I wanted to play so bad. You know, this is when the city was good. It was super good. Now everybody's all spread out. They go to Catholic and private schools, but the city in LA was super good, man. And so you weren't just hopping on varsity. So in order to be with the team, I had to kind of be like the manager of the varsity. And so I was like, nah, man, I wanted to be in it in that space so bad. And part of it was, they were kind of testing me like, well, okay, do the floor. And so the guy who, the adult who normally did it, he showed me how to do it. And it's crazy. All of the things that God places in your life, like I'm an absolute profession. I know the seasons. I know when the wind is blowing. I know everything. I could probably write a book on how to do the floor and the details of, you know, some days you won't, you know, when the floor is moist. I mean, some days you can not do the floor for a week. You know, there's a certain temperature where the floor just has a level of grip. And then in the summertime, it can be, we get that dry heat and you got to do the floor like every 6 hours. It's crazy. So there's a feel. And I had that and I had to do the floor. And I just think, you know, that's something that I try to show people how to do it. And then they get out there, yeah, coach, I got it. And then they do it and they mess it up. And I'm like, you know what? Never mind, bro. Sometimes if you want it done right, you just do it yourself. And even with the machine, man, people don't do it right. They just run through it quick and they don't understand. It's, you know, I'm just down to the lines and the space. And somebody, am I OCD? Yeah, probably, you know. but there's if you're going to do it, you might as well just do it right. It takes the same effort and the same time to do it right. So do it right. You know, doing it right and wrong, it takes the same effort. So just do it right. And that kind of goes for everything. You might as well do it right. And it creates a good vibe. And then also I've learned that the players even, they respect it. And it feels like, okay, coach is not too small. I don't do it for that reason. Mm-hmm. I do it because I want it done right. And I'd rather just do it because everybody comes and says, coach, let me do that. And I'm like, nah, bro. Because I already know I'm going to get upset. Because I want practice to be done right. I want, mm-hmm. you know, and sometimes practice, I let some other people do it. But when it comes game time, I'm doing the floor without a doubt. Game time. And when it's important practices, I'm doing the floor. And I want to make sure it's done right. So.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. That makes sense. And what you're talking about, like the vibe, and you talking about just things being done the right way. Talk a little bit about your staff with Coach Ken and Coach Rock, because you have put together, just like you're talking about before, you're saying that, you know, people want to put together a dream team. And I feel that you have your own dream team, because I also was a team manager before I played on the team. And I just see where their hearts are. Just talk about them a little bit and why it all works so well.
Yeah, you know what I like to do is I think immediately what we do. The good part about us is I get to try out the coaches, right? So, or the coaches get to kind of do a tryout. So because it's not like I have to sign a. I got to sign the guys have to sign a contract and they get this big salary and all that. So a lot of ours is volunteer based and they get a little bit of a stipend, right? So they get a little bit of a stipend. I can tell the guys, like, look, man, this job, it doesn't pay much. If you want to be a part of it, if you want to come coach, then what I would say is come in the summer, just come hang out and take a look, right? Literally, the coaches come in. They eliminate themselves. They realize, like, oh, this is a grind. This is crazy. And eventually they kind of slowly, yeah, coach, you know what? I'm not going to be able to do it. It doesn't look like my schedule is going to work out. Guys like Coach Rob, who literally is worth hundreds of thousands, like he's worth on a high. He had lost his high school job, but he was a coach. Like he was a grinder. He grinded at the level that he was at. And so when he mentioned, like, hey, coach, I think I want to come work for you, I'm looking at what he's done and what I know what he had to do. So I'm like, come in. Plus, he's secure with himself. He doesn't need to try to overstep Coach Mosley. He's like, man, I've had success at where I've had and da 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 da. And man, I'm just here because I know that if I come now from the high school and come to the junior college level that I can build relationships and move on. So Coach Rob comes in and immediately he gravitates to the adversity. He gravitates to the, he was like, oh, I'm jumping right in. This is what coaching is all about. So you see some coaches, they'll come and I get to kind of, you know, I get to try them out and they jump into the adversity. They jump in, they embrace the grind. And then there's some that step away. We're like, wait a minute. I didn't know we had to do all this to coach. And I'm like, well, coaching ain't nothing but 10%. And so I've been fortunate enough to be able to take a look at guys. I never say no or say yes. because really it's almost like a volunteer thing. I'm like, man, yeah, just come and take a look. And if you embrace the grind, then I encourage you to, yeah, man, let me encourage you, and here's what stipend I can give you. But there's some guys that come in and they look around and they think they're just going to jump out there and say, okay, jump stop, and you need to do this and you need to do that. It's like, no, it's not that way, man. And we just sit back in the summertime and we work the guys out, and it's, and they see all the problems, and I'm like, hey, coach, can you want to go take him home and drive him an hour and a half home? And then they see the grind and they're like, oh, okay, this ain't what I signed up for. But that's what it's about. It's the sacrifices you make. You know, Coach Rob, he's driving from Riverside, and which is about an hour and a half with traffic. And then he goes to pick up a guy and takes a guy home. And, you know, a guy, we had a young man, you know, he may show up in this, you know, if we do another docuseries again, but he was in a car accident. Car flipped over. The jaws of life had to tear him out. They didn't show that in the documentary. You know, Coach Rob was picking him up and did, you know, there's so many things that, and he's taking joy in it because he understands the grind. And then he can see the light at the end of the tunnel and what it means to have a program. If you want to have a program, then there's sacrifices that's going to be have to be made. And so once I seen that, it's a dream team. Once you find guys who understand that that all the investment is going to come from us. You know, you can't assume you're just going to show up and have great players and you're going, yeah, look at me, I'm on a winning team and I'm wearing the Nike polo. You know, you just want to wear the polo with the logo, and you want to wear the belt and tuck your shirt in, and you want to be on the sidelines throwing up the two fingers and all. Man, that is not coaching, man. That is not, half of the time I'm daydreaming when I'm coaching a game. You know, I'm not even thinking. I'm like, that's the easy part. I'm coaching a game. I'm sitting here daydreaming, man. Like, man, what is going on? Like, okay, run this play, run that play. The time that I'm most engaged is in practice. Like, during a game, what the hell am I doing? Like, what am I doing? They're playing. Like, I'm not doing nothing, man. It's like pretending coaching when you're in a game. I may have to really do something. Man, I may, like, five times in the game, I may have to call a timeout to, you know, for momentum purposes, do a couple substitutions, and I may have to draw up a play. Usually, every five games, you got to make a decision at the end of a game. Most of the time, the game is decided by, we're either up by 10 or we're down by 10. You know, there's very few times where I got to make a decision in the last 30 seconds, like every five games. So, like, what am I actually doing? Nothing. I'm like daydreaming, man, coaching. And it's like the engagement comes during practice, and that's what true coaches realize is when you're in practice, is when you got to individually connect with the players and spend time with them on their personal lives and all that. That's coaching, man. The game part is the easy part. That part is like, it's not even fun because I'm daydreaming about the problems that the kid got. I'm on the sideline coaching with my suit and tie on, and I'm not even thinking about the game. I'm thinking about the all the other issues that's going on off the court. Yeah, you know, so really game time, I'm pretending like I'm coaching. You know, hopefully you have everything in to where you don't even have to coach. I mean, you know, and I hope I don't offend any coaches out there, but I don't know. I just, it's a pet peeve of mine to have the clipboard. So as you see, I don't ever have a clipboard, you know, hope I don't offend any coaches, but you call a timeout and then all of a sudden you grab the clipboard and I'm like, what the hell am I grabbing a clipboard for? We should know everything, right? The only time I'll grab it is if I there's 30 seconds left, we got to get a shot off, and I just remind them. Everything else we should have, it should be a habit. But I want to make sure I remind them why, because it's a stressful pressure situation, and the guys could forget because it's more stressful because it's the last shot of the game or something. But I'd never grab a clip. It's just, for me, it's irritating. Why am I going to grab a clipboard in halftime? Well, he's not coaching. Well, I should have coached in practice. That's what should have happened. I should have did my coaching in practice. I should have drawn up all the plays in practice. I'm not going to draw it up in a game, man. Like, what the heck am I doing? So anyway, hopefully I didn't offend any coaches, but that's a pet peeve. I get irritated when a coach goes and grabs a clipboard. I'm not grabbing a clipboard. They should already know. I should say, okay, here's what we're going to run when we go here. All right, this is what we're going to run. So anyway.
Fair enough, Coach. Fair enough. Coach, now we're going to go ahead and slide to the two-minute drill. I'm going to let you go ahead and get out of here. We're going to slide to the two-minute drill. Mm-hmm. And for everybody who this might be your first time, and Coach Mosley, I'm going to let you in on it. The two-minute drill is where we're going to just do some rapid-fire questions. And then, you know, just let people just see a different side of you. And then we're going to wrap it up, put a bow on it, and then we'll send you on your way. So Coach, are you ready?
Yes, I'm ready.
All right, let's get to it. Here we go. Favorite food?
Meat lasagna.
Okay. What's the last book you read?
A Servant Leader. Well, the Bible. But if besides the Bible, it was A Servant Leader.
Okay. What's the most underrated cereal?
Captain Crunch.
Regular or Crunch Berries? Or what are we talking?
No, we talking about regular. Okay. We talking about regular. Yeah.
Okay, what's your go-to streaming show of preference?
Oh, this guy, it's Last Chance You, right? No. It's Last Chance You, just started to be, but I would have to say my wife can't stand me watching was Office, though.
Oh, yeah. Oh, man. Okay, yeah. Okay. And what's your favorite verse? What's your favorite verse from the Bible?
My favorite verse. I would probably say we are more than conquerors. We're more than conquerors.
Okay. Excellent. And then last question I got for you. Well, last question, but what's one tip you want to give to a student athlete?
You got to keep grinding. I think a lot of times we're in a microwave era where we want it quick and fast. Don't believe the hype on social media when you see someone having this great, phenomenal career. It's not true. When we talk about it, we're talking about from a student athletic. Don't believe the hype on all the hype videos and the videos and different things like that. I think the most important thing is to be true to yourself and know where you're at and the space you're at. It's going to take work. It's not going to take a video editor. It's not going to be able to do it for you. It's going to take work, and you got to grind every day. And you got to be true to yourself and understand that it's going to take work. You got to wake up in the morning, and you got to do extra. There's somebody that looks just like you out there that's trying to outplay you. They're just the same height, just as quick, just as athletic, just as smart, just as intelligent. What's going to separate you? The only thing that's going to separate you is the work that you put in. Don't kid yourself. Everything it takes to be successful in life is a grind. There's probably less than 1% someone who's been handed something or handed success. Other than that, it's going to take work. And that's in everything you do. You got to wake up and grind. If you want to be a lawyer, doctor, heck, you want to be a police officer, firefighter, the test and everything you got to do is going to take a grind. It's going to take work, putting your head down in the sand and getting it done.
There it is. And then Coach, who's one guest that you'd like to see me interview next on Beyond the Ball?
One guest. Go get Coach Rob Robinson and get Coach Rob Robinson on Beyond the Ball, man.
Sounds good. Coach, go ahead. Please let everybody know where they can connect with you. And then also please let us know just how we can support you and just the work that you're doing.
Well, since I'm on social media now, I never really believed in it, but they kind of told me, hey, you got some people that want to follow you. So I'm at Coach John Mosley _ELAC. That's on my Instagram. And then Twitter is John Mosley Jr. You can find me on Twitter there. And so we got a following there. And then I got some link trees and I got a website that's coming up that'll all be connected to those social media pages. And it can connect you to our athletic department where you can follow what we're doing as a team. But those link trees for now, they have just all the spaces on how you can connect and how you can support us. There's some that ask for gear, some that want to, you know, donate in small ways, big ways. We all have that there on my social media link tree.
Excellent. Well, Coach Mosley, I want to thank you for taking time to hang out with the Ballers today and just, you know, add so much value, sharing your story, sharing your life with us. So I definitely appreciate you taking the time.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me.
Yes, sir. So all the ballers out there, I would encourage you all to make sure that you subscribe to the podcast on YouTube to get not only the podcast, but also exclusive video content. In addition to that, I would encourage you to subscribe if you're listening on Apple And then leave a rate and review if you found this episode helpful or any of the other episodes that you have heard. And friends, thank you for hanging out. And once again, my name is Jonathan Jones. This is Beyond the Ball, where we help you succeed beyond your degree. We'll be right back.